Hello everyone. It's nice to see you again and to join with you around God's Word. We're going to read just one verse, Exodus chapter 20 and the verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. It'll become clear in a moment or two why I read that verse, but just remember what it was that is said there in Exodus chapter 20 and the verse 11. Now, started to look at the judgment of the sheep and the goats, or the separating of the sheep and the goats yesterday. We have a record of that event in Matthew chapter 25, the verses 32 to 46. And I mentioned how that when the Savior comes again, there's going to be so many things take place. That's one thing about the Savior's life. It was an exceedingly busy life. If you read the Gospels and read the accounts that are given there of the activities of the Lord Jesus, you will surely come to the conclusion that during his ministry, he just was constantly working, constantly active, constantly busy. I always think of what we read in the last couple of verses of John's Gospel, the chapter 20. This is a key little passage. I want you to memorize this reference, John chapter 20 and the verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, the record that John has given, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing ye might have life through his name. And then the very last verse of John's Gospel, that's chapter 21 and the verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Now, just you think about that. Here are two statements that indicate very clearly that our Savior was forever working, and working great things, great things. So many times we read in the Gospels that he came into a village, and they brought all the sick to him, and he healed them every one. I have often thought, and I'm sure I've said it to you, I have often thought that during those 3 years of the Savior's ministry, there was a tremendous change wrought in the country. A tremendous change. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who had been sick. Sick of the most dreadful diseases, crippling diseases, many of them paralyzed, unable to move, who now were up and going and walking and working. There were lepers who were completely cleansed of their leprosy, and what a difference that made. Blind people, deaf people, even dead people who were raised from the dead. What a change in Israel was made by the Lord Jesus Christ in a period of 3 years. And when he comes again, that same spirit of activity and busyness will be seen. When he comes, his feet will touch the mountain, and the mountain will divide. A great valley will form. Just like that. Just like that. And that region will just become a different place. There's a valley where there never had been a valley before. And down it there will run a river, right down to the Dead Sea. And it will purge and cleanse the Dead Sea and make it a living sea. The point is, boys and girls, within a very, very brief time, there will be changes made on the face of this earth, the like of which we can't even begin to imagine. So, when I said yesterday that when the Savior comes, the dead believers, that's right back to Adam. So Adam will be raised from the dead, and all those who die, David will be there. We can't start listing them all, but they'll all be raised from the dead and glorified, and they'll ascend into the air to meet the Lord. But on the earth, at that time, will be many who profess to be Christians. Some of them really are, but some of them are not. So there has to be a weeding out take place before the living believers are likewise glorified and join those who were raised from the dead in the air around the Saviour. And I said there was, therefore, a little gap between the raising of the dead believers and then the joining of them by those believers who were still alive when Jesus came. But I don't want you to think that it will take the Lord Jesus a long, long, long time to gather all the professing Christians on the face of the earth before him, and then he begins to divide, as we said, the sheep from the goats. I don't want you to think that'll take a long time. And that's why I read Exodus chapter 20. Because what does it say? In 6 days, God made heaven, the earth, and all that's in it. All that's in it. Now, he could have done all that in one day. He could have done that in 1 minute. You see, God does not work under the limitations that you and I work under. We need time to do things. Some of us need more time than others to do things. That's not so with God. In a moment, he raised Lazarus from the dead. In a moment, he opened the eyes of the blind, etc., etc. And I want to show you a little verse that will very definitely show how quickly things will happen when Jesus comes again. You'll find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In this chapter, which is all to do with resurrection, and Paul the Apostle tells us this. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We, that is, Christians, shall not all sleep or shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, the little phrase that I want you to really notice is that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What's the twinkling of an eye? Give me a phrase or a word that we would use. Blink. Right. And you're blinking away there and you don't even notice it. It's so quick. I've just seen 3 or 4 blinks there. And that's how quickly the dead will be raised. It will just happen. It happens. Done. So when we read of a period of time between the dead believers from all the ages past raised, glorified, and ascending heavenward, and then the living saints likewise glorified and ascending heavenwards, we don't need to think that there's a big, long gap of days or weeks or months in between it. The Lord can gather all those professing Christians together and very swiftly separate them. And having separated them, usher the true believers into the glorified state that is theirs. I want you just to notice those verses and bear it in mind. In 6 days God made the heavens and the earth, and in the twinkling of an eye, in a blink, he's going to raise the dead who have believed in him and will change them everlastingly so that they bear his likeness. We'll go on now from what we were looking at. Remember how that the Saviour is going to gather those who say they're Christians all together, and then he's going to separate the true believer from the false believer. You see, the church today is made up, that is the professing church, or what we call the visible church, is made up of those who are true and those who are false. It's like the field that you read of in Matthew 13, in which the good seed was sown, but it also had the tares sown, and the two grew up in the one field, side by side. And in every church, even in the days of revival, there are those who are not really saved. When you think, and we heard it, didn't we? Just in our church, we heard it on the Lord's Day past, among the apostles, there was Judas. He looked like a genuine Christian, Doubtless he spoke like a genuine Christian. And as far as the human eye is concerned, he acted like a genuine Christian, but he wasn't one. He wasn't a true Christian. And that's how it has always been. So when the Savior comes again, he's going to gather all those who say they're Christians together, who are alive on the earth, and he's going to separate them. He's going to filter them out. For he knows who is a true Christian and who isn't. The false Christian can fool every other Christian. Aye, and fool themselves. But they can't fool the Lord. They can't deceive the Lord. We heard on the Lord's Day how that when the Savior said, one of you is a traitor, not one of the apostles said, I knew rightly that Judas was false. I knew it all along. Not one of them. But instead, they all said, Lord, is it me? They hadn't the slightest inkling that Judas was false. But the Lord knew. Let me tell you, boys and girls, let me tell each one of you now. God knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking at this very moment. He knows what you're thinking about the Bible. He knows what you're thinking about the gospel. He knows what you're thinking about him. He knows. You can't hide it from him. And those who have pretended to be saved, and when Jesus Christ comes again, there they are upon the earth, and they've told everybody, oh yes, I'm a Christian. But they weren't. And when they're brought before the Lord will say, and you, you're not mine. Go away. Depart from me. I never knew you. I'll tell you this. That little word, depart, carries the meaning of continue on. Think of that. Depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire. Or, just carry on from me. Because you see, that's the direction their life was always taking. Oh, they said they were Christians, but they were always going away from the Lord. Departing from him, turning their back upon him, refusing his commands, rejecting his word. Now they are dismissed by the Lord. Oh, the Lord knows the hearts of men and women. They had mingled together in the church. Ministers had accepted them as Christians. They had come to the communion table. They had accepted the cup. They had accepted the bread. They were in the prayer meetings. They carried their Bibles. Everybody thought them to be Christians, but they really weren't. They weren't sheep. They were goats. And when the Lord Jesus comes again, he's going to take the church that is on the earth at that time, and he's going to filter out the false ones. And they will be sent into everlasting damnation. That's where they'll be sent to. That is the fate of those who are not saved. Would you just, as we close our little gallery, would you just turn to Matthew chapter 25 and together we will solemnly read the sentence that the Lord Jesus passes upon those who are not really saved. Matthew chapter 25. Perhaps we should take a moment just to notice the sentence he passes on those who are saved. Verse 33, Matthew chapter 25, verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father. Come, come to me. That's an invitation to join Christ. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's the moment I believe that they will then join the rest of the glorified throng of believers who were in the graves, raised, glorified, and ascended. Here's now those who were alive when Jesus came, being told by the Savior, come, enter into the kingdom. And doubtless they will be glorified at that time. If you're saved today, listen to me. If you're saved today, that's your future. The Savior saying to you, enter in to the kingdom. Isn't that a wonderful hope? But that's a hope that only belongs to those who are truly saved. Oh, are you saved today, boys and girls? Because if you're not, listen. Listen to the dreadful words that the Savior will direct to those who are not saved. Verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. He hasn't forgot about them. They're not going to get away with rejecting the gospel. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I tell you, my soul trembles at the thought of those words falling on my ears, and I'm so glad today God has saved me. Not because of anything in me, we've got to say that, but he saved me out of his mercy and out of his kindness and out of his grace. But if you're not saved, and you refuse to get saved, then one day, this is where you're going. Depart from me into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil. Oh, boys and girls, there's a way of salvation. There's a way of escape. Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father. No man can get into the Father's kingdom but by me. Will you come to Christ today and say, Lord Jesus, save me. Save me from my sins. Save me from everlasting punishment. Make me thine. May the Lord apply his word very powerfully to your heart today. And if you're not saved, help you to give thought to it. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that we might have brought before our minds and our hearts the truth of what lies ahead. Ungodly men think that just as this morning dawned, so tomorrow will dawn, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. But Lord, we know that one day thou art going to come again, and men will be faced then with whether or not they were saved or rejecters of the gospel. God, bring these things before the children, before us all, and grant that we may call upon thee, ask thee to save us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.